Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray one more time this evening. Father, I thank you that we get to look into the word that you gave us, God, that you were so gracious, so generous, that you gave us the Bible, God. You don't just leave us to figure out life on our own, but you gave us every possible resource that we could ever need in order to be successful in navigating life while on the earth. You gave us your word, and you gave us your spirit that teaches us, that convicts us, that corrects us, that helps us along the way. And we just say thank you for the Holy Spirit, and thank you for the word of God tonight, the word that quickens, the word that does correct and teaches us doctrine and gives us instruction, Lord. And I pray that as we look at it tonight, that you would teach us further how we should apply it to our life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to recap just very quickly in case you did miss last week what we talked about. Last week we talked about the first part of this passage in verse 16 where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. That's as far as we got last week. We're going to continue going on this week and we're going to pick actually back up at doctrine because I didn't spend a lot of time talking about what that means. And I basically want to teach you tonight. I want to break down what each of these words mean in the Greek and how we can apply the word of God to our life, because I think so many people miss out on the fullness of the power of the word of God in their life. There are so many Christians that don't fully, understand what a gift the Bible is. What a gift God's word is. And we just pass over it. Maybe you go 2 or 3 days without ever even reading the Bible. And I want you to realize that there's nothing, and I said this last week, there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to read your Bible every day, but there should be a desire inside of you that wants to read your Bible every day, because you realize that from that Bible, you are gaining strength and you are gaining wisdom and you're gaining instruction. You're gaining basic life application. That's one thing I love about the Bible is it's not, I'm reading Job right now. And God bless Job for everything he went through. But there's, I told Madison today, I was like, these guys, Job's friends and Job, they were just real dramatic. Just real dramatic. Everything was just poetry and just like, it's just all this stuff. And Job finally says one time, he's like, let me talk for a little bit and then you guys can mock me some more. Like he starts realizing this is a pattern that we've developed here where I say something and then y'all mock me and then I say something else. But even in that, there is so much that can be gained because this scripture says all scripture. If it's in the word, it's for me. If it's in the word, it's for you. I want you to get that. God, every single bit of it, you can apply to your life. You can learn what not to do and you can learn what to do from the word of God. And so he has given us all the scripture. But what I love is the whole thing isn't just poetry. The whole thing isn't just history. There is so much in this book that will just straight up apply to where you are in life. If you don't believe me, go read Proverbs. It knows exactly what you need. I can't tell you how many times I've been walking through something in my life. I open up my Bible to read the daily proverb because there's 31 of them, one for every single day of the month. And some months you get a few bonus ones thrown in there for you. But I'll go to read it and 5, 6, 7, 10 of the verses will be like exactly what I'm going through in that moment. Why? Because the word of God is living and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God is able to go beyond your physical understanding and speak to your spirit. It's able to penetrate. And that's what I was trying to share a little bit about on Sunday morning is that I feel like the church church at large is overfed and undernourished, meaning we are given so many sermons, so many catchy phrases, so many analogies, but we're not always getting fed because we're hearing something new and we're not even giving time to digest it. Sometimes in order to fully be nourished of something, you can't just stuff your face and stuff your face and stuff your face. Eventually that gets unhealthy. Even too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. Sometimes you need just a steady diet. And Bruce Bonfilo was sharing with me Sunday, and I think he and Marsha are tuning in online tonight, but he was sharing with me Sunday that he was attending a church in Florida a while ago, and his pastor went away for a sabbatical and was asking God, why is my church not growing? And God said, I want you to go back for 1 year and teach the same Bible verse for a whole year, every sermon that you preach. About being actually the scripture that I used last week when we talked at one of the scriptures out of Matthew chapter 5, where he says, you are the salt of the earth. And what does it really mean to be salt? And what does it really mean to be light? He preached it for an entire year. A.W. Tozer, who's a mighty man of God. If you're looking for a good book to read, just find an A.W. Tozer book, pick it up, stick your thumb in there anyways, you'll find something good. He preached on John 3:16 for a whole year. He told his congregation, I'm going to preach it until you get it. For a whole year, every single Sunday, he preached on John 3:16. And we've got to allow the Word of God to go deeper than just surface level. That's why James said, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. When we are hearers only, we're just allowing the Word of God to come at surface level. And at surface level, the Bible will not transform your life. This is a book, and it will remain a book as long as it's on the surface. But when you plant it in your heart, that's why David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you look at the parable of the sower that Jesus told, he threw out the same seed at every location. And there was one location that it sprang up really quick, but it was squinched or quenched out. And it'd be, you know why? Because it didn't take root. It didn't go deep enough. It didn't get settled in the soil. So let the word of God get settled inside of your soul, because the word of God that fell upon good soil, it all produced a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, all depending upon the soil. So you get to choose when the word of God is being taught, when it's being preached, when you are reading a book about it, when you are studying it in your living room or in your closet or wherever you read the Bible, you get to choose what kind of soil am I going to be today. And if we're not seeing results, guess what? It's never the book's fault. It's always our fault because the seed's good, okay? It's are we being good soil? So all scripture is given. Let's recap this a little bit. The Bible is given to us as a gift from God. I want you to understand that. The Bible is a gift, and God only gives, we talked about this a few weeks ago, good gifts. So if it's given by God, it's a gift from God. If it's a gift from God, therefore it must be good, because God, according to the book of James, only gives good gifts. Every good and every perfect gift, which is what this is, because it is perfect in every way, it comes down from the Father above, and from whom there's no shadow nor variation, or there's no variation nor shadow of turning. It is a good gift from God. And then he says, it's given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for our lives. What does that word profitable mean? If you were paying attention last week, you'll know that that word profitable means beneficial, and it means advantageous. When you read the Word of God, it is advantageous for you. Maybe you've been told that before. Hey, this is maybe your financial planner. Hey, it'd be very advantageous for you to invest in this stock or to invest in this company. It would be very advantageous for you. Maybe an educator told you to take this class, or maybe your boss says it would be very advantageous for you to add this skill set. Well, when you read the Word of God, it is advantageous to your life. It's beneficial. Every single word of it. Every single letter in here is advantageous, and it is beneficial. That word advantageous, just to recap, means involving or creating favorable circumstances that increase the chance of a success or effectiveness. Every time you read the Word of God, it is increasing your chance at being effective in the kingdom of God. I believe that all Christians should long to be effective. The last thing I want to do is go before God one day and be like the guy that had the parable. Jeff and I were talking about this earlier, the guy that in the parable of the talents, that he just hid his talent, didn't do anything with it. That's the last thing that I would want to do. I would rather, and I've heard people say this, I'd rather err on the side of trying than not trying at all. I want to do something for God, not in my own strength, not in my own ability, but with what he's given me to do. If that's one talent, if that's two talents, if that's five talents, I want to use it to glorify God. Amen? I want to be effective. Advantageous, think about this. It has the same root word in the English language as advantage. Reading the Word of God gives you an advantage over your coworkers, over the people in the world. Don't say you don't want an advantage. Listen, you'd want an advantage if I was talking about making money. You'd want an advantage if I was talking about running a race. You'd want an advantage if I was talking about getting to the, you know, the best spot at the grocery store. You'd want an advantage on if you were wanting to make an offer on a house, you'd want the advantage of making the offer before everybody else. So don't say you don't want an advantage because you're so spiritual all of a sudden. Oh, I don't want to have an advantage. Oh, yes, you do. Just you won't admit it. So just go ahead and admit it. You want an advantage. Well, the Bible will give it to you. The Word of God gives you an edge. It'll give you wisdom that your coworker won't have because they're not reading it. Now, if they read it, they'll have the same wisdom you do, but we've got to understand that the Bible will give us wisdom. Okay, so let's talk. Now we've recapped a little bit. Let's talk. Let's just break down each of these words, everything that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. We talked about this a little bit, but I want to go a little bit more in depth tonight of what doctrine is. Doctrine, it's a word that we use, and we pretty much use it to describe what we believe or what the gospel is. But if you look at the Greek definition of the word doctrine, and that is one of those things, if someone were to ask you, what is your doctrine? Well, you would begin to explain, well, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He is connected to God and the Spirit, and they're triune God, and the only way to get to heaven or to get to know God is through Jesus, and He came by way of virgin birth, and we believe in the Bible, that it's absolute truth, and we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You would say that's your doctrine, but when you look it up in this since in the Greek, it means instruction or learning. In other words, it's what is being preached and what is being taught from the pulpit. And listen, the pulpit shouldn't be the only place that your child ever hears preaching. You should be teaching your child, whether they're an adult or whether they're children, the Bible. And the way that you instruct them and the way that they learn should come from the Word of God. And so it is profitable in how you teach your children. Don't just tell your children that it's bad to steal. Tell them by the Word of God why it's wrong to steal, how it affects somebody else, how it's a sin against God, how it's one of the Ten Commandments that we're not supposed to steal. Don't just tell them, hey, don't have sex before marriage. Tell them why. According to the book of 1 Corinthians, where Paul begins to say that when we sin sexually, we sin against our own body. Begin to teach them. Don't just tell them, well, the Bible says it somewhere. Read them the scripture. Read them the book. Give them understanding. Give them instruction. Give them learning. God gave us His Word to help us learn how to live holy and pure lives. Because He commands three places in the scripture, be holy as I am holy. But He also gave us everything that we need to empower us to become holy as He is holy. Because when He says, be holy as I'm holy, He's not talking about trying to do better, striving in your own strength or in your own ability. What He's saying is, I want you to be holy, and I want you to also understand that I'm holy, and I will allow you and help you to be holy. And He gave us the Word for doctrine. It is profitable. It is advantageous. It is beneficial for our life, for doctrine, for learning, and for instruction. Our basis of beliefs in how we vote, in how we conduct ourselves, in what job we take, what job we don't take, in where we go, where we don't go, what we say, what we don't say, what we do, what we don't do, should all be rooted and grounded in nothing other than God's precious and holy Word. Don't let Facebook and Fox News tell you how to live your life, because they don't know. They don't have it figured out, but the Word of God has a perfect plan, and He will show you exactly what you need to do in every single season. As believers, we are called to be rooted and grounded in the faith and solid in our doctrine. But you cannot be solid in your doctrine if you don't read the book. Right. You've got to have this in your arsenal to understand this is what I'm standing on, because doctrine keeps you grounded. That instruction, that learning. It's like when you go to take a new job, hopefully they will train you and they will teach you and they will give you instruction. Why? Because you need a basis, you need a grounding, you need an understanding of this is how I do my job. Well, that's what the Bible does for believers. It gives us ground to stand upon to realize this is how I'm supposed to live my life. This is how I'm supposed to conduct myself. myself. And people don't want to hear doctrine taught anymore from the Word of God. Like I said, this is the book, the Bible, the God's holy word is meant to be what is preached in your home, but also from the pulpit. But people don't want to hear the Bible preached anymore. They want to hear philosophies, and they want to hear psychological things, and they want to hear good ideas, and they want to hear perk me up, pick me up sermons, and they want to hear constantly. You know, the problem with a lot of Christians today is they got to be reminded over and over again that God loves them. They got to be told over. We got to sing it every single Sunday. Sing it every single, and I'm not picking on any of the songs we sing tonight or any of the songs we sing anytime. I understand that love is in the Bible more than any other topic. I get it. But the problem is when we've developed a culture and a generation, and I'm not just talking about children, I'm talking about adults right now. The generation that is living right now as adults constantly must be reminded how much God loves them. You know what I've come to realize? If the cross is not proof enough that God loves you, I'm not sure you're going to get it. Yeah. And the problem is we've stopped preaching the cross. Because if we will preach the cross, people won't have any question or doubt in their mind, does God love me? Because there is no greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said, and that's exactly what he did. So really, what's happening is we're trying to put a Band-Aid on people's wounds, and really what they need is to get to the cross. They don't just need another God loves you no matter what you do. It's unconditional. You can continue to do whatever and God will still love you and God will still care about you. What they need to understand is, no, God loved you so much that even though you're a sinner and you are still sinning, he sent his son to die on the cross because no greater love is there in the world than that. So really what we need is the cross. So here's what you need to do. Set your feet firmly in the Bible, which is the instruction and the doctrine. It's the will of God. Let it be the bedrock upon which you build your life. Every single decision that we make should be rooted and grounded. Now, here's the thing. Once you know the book, once you know the Bible, once you've studied it and you've learned from it, you can make decisions quickly. You ever known somebody that couldn't make a decision? Everybody's got that child, right? They looked at the candy aisle for 10 minutes. I don't know if I want this, and I don't know if I want that one. I don't know. I'm like that every time I go get ice cream. I can't, that's one area I'm indecisive. What ice cream do I want? So that's why I end up getting 4 scoops, right? Because I can't decide which one that I want. So it's just, I got to get one, you know, I can't just get one of them. I got to get 4. But the Word of God will help you to make quick decisions because you already know what the Word says about it. Yes, there are things that we got to pray about, things we got to seek counsel about, but we've got to let every decision that we make be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. I've noticed people that are mature in Christ, they are able to make quick, great decisions because they know what the Word says about it. That's one thing I respect about my dad is anytime he faces a situation, he wants to find out what does the Bible say about it. Not what does John Maxwell say about it, not what does T.D. Jakes say about it, not what does Donald Trump say about it. What's the Bible say about it? Because that's what matters most. That's how he taught me to live. If I can't find the answer in the Bible, then I haven't looked long enough because it's there. I just got to keep looking. All right. But here's the thing about learning with doctrine, because we have people that have been preached doctrine till the preacher's blue in the face and they still don't know anything. There are people been in church for 40 years and they can't tell you how to get saved. They can't tell you about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They can't tell you why we speak in tongues. They can't tell you, you know, anything about doctrine or solid theology. Why? Because learning is a choice. Being present does not mean that you will learn everything that's being taught. That's obvious from your schooling. You were present, but you didn't learn everything, right? That's why 2 kids can sit in the same class. One looks at the teacher, one looks out the window and studies the butterflies and the passing cars and then fails the test. Because one was choosing, I'm going to learn what's being taught. And one was still present, but they weren't learning, right? So when we are sitting in a setting like this, or if we're sitting and you've made your nasty cup of Folgers and you're sitting in your chair at home. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody that drinks Folgers, but you've made your coffee and you're sitting there and you got your Bible open. Reading it doesn't mean you're learning it. You have to make a choice And I want to encourage you. Here's the best way you can do it. This is one thing that I've learned, helped me so much. I pray before I read the Bible. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Show me something that I've never seen before. And help me understand what it means. Because I'm not just reading it so that I get through my read the Bible in 365 days. I'm reading it because I want to get something out of it. Because I want to learn from it, right? So when you read the word, allow it to speak to your spirit. Before you ever read a word, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, speak to me, help me as I read to make sense to my natural mind. Because there are some things in this book that will never make sense to your natural mind, but your spirit needs to know them. Your spirit needs to understand them. You need to hide them in your heart, not just in your mind, okay? And if you're having a hard time getting the word of God in your heart, what you need to do is you need to meditate upon it. Because I'm a firm believer in this. I've shared this here on Wednesday night before. Meditation is the track upon which things get from the head to the heart. I've known a lot of people knew a lot of scripture, but it wasn't hidden in their heart. And if you are getting it in your head, but you're having a hard time getting it in your heart, you need to meditate on it. What does the word meditate mean? In fact, if you go back, meditation is not some weird sitting in Indian style with your fingers, you know, like this and in some weird Eastern seance. Meditation is biblical first. Anything that the enemy does or has, he perverted from God because he can't have an original thought. And so we have meditation. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you will find that Isaac was walking out in the field meditating at night. You'll find that David said that he meditates on the word of God both day and night. When we meditate, it simply means to recompute or to mumble over and over again. So don't let when you read the Bible in the morning or in the evening be the last time that you think about it. Bring it back up and think about it again. That's how it will get in your heart, okay? So that you can be instructed by it. It says it's profitable for instruction or for doctrine and for reproof. Let's talk about reproof for a few minutes. Reproof means conviction. It means expose. It means show guilty or to persuade. The word of God will persuade you to think properly. The word of God will show guiltiness. Now, it's not just talking about showing me where I'm guilty, and it will do that, but it will also show you where others are guilty. It's just a light. It exposes. When you live with the word of God, it's a lamp unto your feet. It's a light unto your path. So it will show you that's a guilty person. That's a guilty thing. There's guilt in your life. It will expose. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Okay? So if we don't like God's word reproving us and correcting us, and we'll talk about correction later because it's in here too. If we don't like the reproof of the word of God, we're stupid. And I can't water it down for you. That's just what that word means. I can't make it sweet. It's just what it means. You hate being reproved? You're stupid, okay? So I want you to understand this. Conviction and the exposing of guilt and the persuasion of God's word is a good thing. Have you ever had the word of God expose something in your life? Yes. I remember one time I read in Ephesians chapter 4 about that we should put away all anger and all bitterness and all malice. And it exposed in my life as I began to study what each of those words meant. It began to show me where there was anger in my life, where there was wrath in my life, where there was malice in my life. I didn't even know what malice was till I looked it up. So here's another thing. When you're reading the Bible, if you don't understand what it means, look it up. Yeah. Don't just pass over it and go, well, I guess I'm not spiritual enough. I guess I don't get that. Maybe that doesn't apply to me. No, it all applies to you. Look it up. Find out what it means. Don't just go to the next chapter. That's part of the problem and part of why the body of Christ is so unlearned in the scripture is instead of studying it to show ourselves approved, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, we are ashamed at what we don't know because we just skip over it. Right. I don't understand it, so I'm not going to try to figure it out. The Holy Spirit will help you figure it out. That's why you read before and ask Him, show me what you're saying. Show me what you want me to learn from this book. Okay? It means so conviction's a good thing. I want you to think about exposing. The word of God exposing something in your life. Sounds bad, sounds hurtful, sounds, oh, that's so scary. What will be revealed? Well, the other day, I was at my parents' house and my sister called me, my sister Micah. They live about 2 minutes from my parents. And she told me that she was vacuuming and she'd seen a spider. And she said, normally, I don't mind spiders, but this one's really big and I need you to come get it because her husband was already at work. So I jumped in the car and I ran over there and I walked in. She's got her two little children and they are like right by the table, just threatening to jump on it if they, you know, see the spider. And she's like, it's over there, you know, just being just how girls do. And I walked over there and I couldn't find the spider, which is more frightening for her than had I found it. She's like, oh no, oh, you know, she's more upset. And she said, maybe it's under the toy basket. Well, I picked it up and there was a big old wolf spider under that basket. And so I killed it and took care of it. But here's the thing. I had to expose the spider in order to terminate the spider. And what you won't let the Word of God expose in your life, you'll have to live with. So you have got to allow the Word. It sounds scary. I don't want the Word, because what is that going to look like? What is that going to feel like? What's that going to do in my life? What are other people going to see? You'll have to keep struggling with it. You'll have to keep, you know, just having to reap the consequences of it until you allow the Word of God to expose it so that He can terminate it. Yeah. So don't be afraid of allowing the Word of God to expose things in your life. It's a good thing. David said this, I quoted earlier, your word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. What does that mean? It's exposing in front of me what I couldn't see without it. Until I moved the basket, I couldn't see the spider. Yeah. Until we allow the Word of God to bring reproof in our life, we'll have to live with the creepy, crawly things that are causing harm to our spirit, harm to our body, harm to our blessing, harm to our favor, harm to our anointing, because we won't allow the Lord to expose them by His Word. In fact, if you want to know more about the Word, which is what we're talking about tonight, go read Psalm 119. 178 times in the longest chapter of the Bible, which is 176 verses, David mentions the law, the Word, the precepts, your truth, your statutes. All those things represent the Word of God. 178 times in 176 verses. It will show you what the Word of God can do in your life. All right. It illuminates your life to show exactly what's there, whether that's good or bad. Because here's the thing, exposing something isn't always bad. Think about this, when an archaeologist goes to dig in the ground and they begin to expose something, that's not a bad thing that they expose, it's a good thing. So yes, the Word will expose bad things in your life, but it'll also expose good things in your life. You might find out, I've got that gift, I've got that call, I've got that anointing, I've got that destiny. Oh, I can be blessed by that. Oh, I can bless somebody else that way. When you read the Word of God, it doesn't just, if you'll allow it to expose the bad things, it'll also expose the good things that God has put inside of you. So it will expose. All right, let's keep going. It says it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction. Okay? Correction, that word in the Greek means to straighten up or to improve something. How many of you guys as parents have used those two words before? Straighten up, yeah. Right? Your children start acting a little bit rowdy or rambunctious. They hadn't quite done anything wrong yet, because if they had, you'd take care of it, right? But they're teetering on that line between what they should do and what they shouldn't do, what they want to do and what you've told them to do. And you just say, I said it the other day, hey, boys, y'all better straighten up. And basically what I'm saying is y'all got about 2 seconds to stop and get it together before you have to reap the consequences of what you're doing, right? Or you hadn't quite done anything wrong yet, but you are drifting that direction, right? So the Word of God will not just expose what you have done wrong, but it will also say straighten up, because you're getting too close to the line. Straighten up, because you're veering off the path, because Jesus said straight is the way and narrow is the gate and few will find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will find it. So when we begin to veer off that straight and narrow, and that's, you know, we don't preach about the cross enough. We don't preach about the straight and narrow enough. Old preachers used to preach about the straight and narrow way. In Isaiah, it talks about the highway of holiness, right? Well, the Word of God will keep you on the highway of holiness. Now, holiness isn't how you wear your hair and how you wear your dress. Holiness, in fact, if you go back to one of the first times that it's used in the scripture, it's when the priests received their garments and on their forehead, they would wear something that said holiness to the Lord. Holiness is what God wants you to do, you to do. Not how you wear your hair, not how you wear, how long your dress is. Jeff and I were talking about this earlier too. You know, somebody, you can't play cards, you can't dance, you can't drink, you can't do that. No, really, what you should be more focused on is what does God want me to do? Not all these legalistic ideas. And we need the word of God, though, sometimes to correct us and show us. Correction is a good thing. If you get out of alignment in your back, what do? You go to the chiropractor and he will correct what is wrong, right? And you aren't going, oh, don't do that. I liked it how it was. You want correction. Yeah. If your car gets out of alignment and you need to take it and get a front end alignment, you don't tell the mechanic, I kind of liked how it would pull to the left when I let go of it, right? Well, why wouldn't we want God in our life to say, straighten up? And listen, it doesn't just mean straighten up. It means to improve something. He will show you in his word how to improve what you're doing so that you're better at it. I read about people like Joseph in the Bible. He was the original Midas man. Everything he touched turned to gold. He just got promoted. He was the favorite brother. He got thrown into the pit and he goes to Potiphar. He becomes the top of Potiphar's house, gets thrown in prison. Becomes the top of the head of the prison, gets taken to Pharaoh and becomes, you know, over all the country, right? Everything he did was good. And I think about people like that. Well, the word of God will help you be that kind of person at your job. Because Joseph wasn't any more special than you or me. If we will allow the word of God to show us, he will show us how to improve what we're doing. He'll give you an idea to fix a problem that your boss has been stumped on for 2 years. Yeah. If you're reading the word of God, if you're seeking him, if you're allowing him to speak to you, he will bring improvement. And so the word of God is a course corrector. It helps you stay on the straight and narrow. It's like, hey, careful, you're drifting. I've shared this story here before. I'll share it again. There, back in the, I think it was in the 70s, there was a guy that he offered to take some children of his coworker to on a boating trip. And they were up in New York and they're boating and boating. Well, they cut the motor off and they were just drifting around. Well, in doing so, they didn't realize that they'd accidentally drifted past the point of no return before Niagara Falls. And the boat went over. And the boy survived. The girl somehow survived. The gentleman that had taken them out, he did not survive. But we've got to be careful that we don't drift away. And the word of God will say, careful, you're drifting. Straighten up. Better turn the motor back on and start heading the other way. Now, thankfully, with God, there is no point of no return until you die. Then there is a point of no return. So I guess there really is. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what is the writer of Hebrews saying? We have to pay careful attention to things that we've heard. Hearing comes by the word of God. Right? So we've got to pay careful attention to the word of God, lest we drift away. The word keeps us from drifting away. It improves us. It changes our perspective. We need to change our perspective on correction. God corrects you to improve you, not to destroy you. Yeah. That's like you look at the iPhone. How far has it come since the original iPhone? I mean, the camera is so much better. You look at the old iPhone and you wonder, how did we ever do life with that thing? Right? How did I ever have an iPod for music and a phone for calling and a, you know, Palm Pilot for this and, you know, and a GPS for that? Now everything's in one place. It's in one phone. Why? Because somewhere somebody said, hey, we need to correct some things. We need to improve some things and we've gotten a better product. Why? Because of corrections. Wow. So correction is to make something better, not to knock it down. Okay? All right. Remember, he who hates correction is stupid. And he corrects and chastises, according to the Old Testament and to Hebrews, those whom he loves as a father and whom delights in their child. Okay, it is also profitable for instruction in righteousness. That means training, means nurturing. And this is my favorite area. It means lovingly prepare for. The word of God will lovingly prepare you to live righteously. In fact, I'm a firm believer that when we get saved, we receive the righteousness of God because our righteousness is like filthy rags, but he also will prepare us and will teach us how to walk out that righteousness. And so he does that by the reading of the word. In fact, the Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. One of the ways that we renew our mind is by replacing what we think we know with what he actually knows, which is found in the Bible, absolute truth. So he gave you this book to prepare you for a life of righteousness and good works, not to religiously read every single day and feel bad when you don't, feel good when you do. He gave it to prepare you, to make you ready. Anyone that abandons time in the Word of God is hindering their growth, is hindering their effectiveness, but is also selfishly hindering themselves from being a blessing to those that are around them. Because he gave us the Word as a profitable means to train us for instruction in righteousness and for good works. So the Word will teach you and train you how to be a righteous man or righteous woman of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 17, that the man or woman of God may be complete. God doesn't want to leave you needing, lacking in anything. In fact, he who walks uprightly, God will withhold no good thing from. He doesn't want you to come behind lacking any good gift. He doesn't want you to come behind lacking anything. So he gave you his word. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, by his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain both to life and to godliness. So he's given that to us. He gave you this book to prepare you, to make you ready. So because when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. That's what the great John Wooden, the basketball coach at UCLA said. He would always tell his players, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. Meaning, if you aren't practicing in practice, when the opportunity comes to get in the game, it's too late to practice your jump shot. It's too late to practice your free throw shooting. It's too late to practice your defense. It's too late to get in shape. So when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. But God gave us the Word of God so that we can prepare, so that we can be ready. Because that's what that word complete means, is that it means ready. So that the man of God may be ready for every good work. So that when the time comes, you don't go, I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I'm spiritual enough. I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know if I'm anointed enough. No, you've read the Word of God and you're so full of the Word of God, it's like a fire shut up inside of your bones. You're ready to go when the opportunity presents itself. Jesus had the Word of God on ready when the devil confronted him in the wilderness. When the enemy came to him and said, if you'll just tell these stones to turn into bread, if you'll, you know, he took him and he showed him the moment of all the things in the world. He took him to a high place in Jerusalem, said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all this stuff. If you throw yourself off, won't the angels come and rescue you? Jesus, every single time, he said, it is written. It says he had the Word of God on ready. He didn't wait until that moment, but he knew what to say in that moment to combat the enemy. Because when the time came, Jesus didn't go, hang on, Satan, can I Google what it actually says? I think it says this, but let me make sure what it says. He didn't pull out YouVersion on his phone. He spoke it. He was ready. He was prepared. Most people run to the Word when things go wrong. Not that that's a bad thing to do, but if you'd already been running to the Word, you'd send the enemy running. But many people, the enemy comes at them, I better run to the Word. I messed up. I better go to the Word. If you've been in the Word, you'll send the enemy running. Jesus didn't run away from the enemy to find a word. Jesus spoke the word to the enemy and the enemy ran away. It says the enemy left him for a more opportune time. So if you'll be in the Word, you'll be ready when the temptation comes. You'll be ready when the trial comes. You'll be ready when the disappointment comes. And you'll send the enemy running instead of you turning around and running away. Okay? So then let's finish with this. That the man of or woman of God may be complete, and then it says equipped for every good work. It doesn't just say equipped, though. I love this. It says thoroughly equipped. And that word thoroughly equipped, or those two words together, they actually are one word in the Greek, and they mean to furnish completely. That the man or woman of God may have every single thing that they need. You ever stayed in an Airbnb and tried to cook a meal? No, I'm the only one? Okay. I think I heard Naomi laugh. I've tried to do it before. They don't keep cast irons in Airbnbs, y'all. So I got to take my own cast iron anytime we go somewhere because they don't have them in Airbnbs. They don't have the things that, you know, you have in your kitchen that you need. They've got a little, you know, pan that's about as thick as a piece of paper that you'll burn something if you just drop it in there. And they don't, you know, they've got terrible knives. They've got one cutting board that's about this big. You know what I mean? And I want to go somewhere that is furnished completely. You ever had to stay somewhere? I remember one time my family, we were traveling, and these people were so kind to let us stay in their house. Let the preacher stay at my house. No couch in the living room. There was a TV. No couch, right? God won't leave you hanging like that. He will furnish you completely. But you've got to choose to read the Word of God. Because when we don't read the Word, we'll find ourselves lacking. If we're lacking, it's never God's fault. It's because we have not applied the Word of God to our life. He will give you everything that you need to be effective for the kingdom of God. And if you don't have what you need, it's not because He hasn't given it to you. It's because you haven't equipped yourself with what He has given you, which is why we daily need to look at the Word of God and realize it's a gift. It's not a requirement. It's a gift. You going to go to hell because you missed a day reading? No, but you're going to wish you would have read it, right? Because it's got something in there for you that you need for that day that's going to help you, that's going to fuel you, that's going to inspire you, that's going to help you to defeat the enemy and turn him and make him run instead of you running away from him. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your people, for your church, for the body of Christ. And Lord, I speak a blessing over every single person here. I pray that the next time that they open up the Bible, that it would leap off of the page to them by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that it would penetrate their heart, their mind, their soul, every essence of their being, God, and that we would use your word and we would be thoroughly equipped for every good work that you have called us to do. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.